Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Today's sermon is I Say.
To warm up to where we're going to be in Matthew 5, the first part starts off with the Beatitudes, then moves on to salt and light, and Jesus talks about fulfilling the law, and then there's more, and it's really good stuff. I'm enjoying being in there. And we're going to start today with some well-known sayings, and I'm going to invite you, if you would, to help me with this part. So let's get it up there. Have to make the adjustments again. These are some well-known sayings that you should know, or most of you will probably know. So I'm going to put up the first part of the saying, and then I'm going to ask you to interact with me and help me out, and then tell what the rest of the saying is. And then after that, there was a group of first graders who did the same thing, and they had a different ending maybe than what we normally might think is the actual saying. So here we go. If you lie down with the dogs, you will... All right, wake up with fleas. And the answer was, stink in the morning. Sounds like a first grade answer, and it makes sense to me. The pen is mightier than the... Or, it's mightier than the pig. That took me just a second to get that one. So, a penny saved, and the first grader says, is not much. And I still kind of think that, too. It's like, well, I would like to save dollars instead of that. But don't put off till tomorrow what... And then he took it more but the pajama route. But don't put off till tomorrow what you put on to go to bed. Okay, well, laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you have to blow your nose. Just as good ending. I don't know how to stop that. Do I need to change something here? I'm going. All right. There is none so blind as... That is he who cannot see, or Stevie Wonder. Could happen. I'm gonna put it up here. Maybe that'll help. I don't know. A bird in the hand is going to poop on you. And then lastly, better late than pregnant. But that doesn't really sound like a first grade response, but maybe it is. So there are popular sayings that we've heard stuff, and we've always heard mom told us we grew up believing. And Jesus addresses one of these well-known sayings in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. He says, you've heard that it was said long ago, do not murder. Have you heard that one? Yeah, okay, do not murder. And so on Facebook, I see a lot of memes up about murder, which is kind of odd, but basically there's people giving themselves a gold star saying, I didn't kill anybody today. So I'm hopeful in this group that most of us, I hope all of us, didn't kill anybody today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? But we kind of brag on ourselves sometimes, and it's even more to our advantage if we went to Walmart, especially on a holiday weekend, and we didn't kill anybody. And then sometimes we just wonder how people, you know, aren't grateful to us that we had the patience not to kill them. And then I like this, when you get the word from Kermit the Frog, you probably got something good going on. Can I call out to Jesus? Because these folks are going to make me break at least 4 of the 10 commandments. Sometimes we feel like that's how it works, right? Like it's their fault. And then perhaps you're really spiritual and you just do this. You just raise your hands to the Lord. I didn't kill anybody. And we give ourselves this gold star. And certainly we have followed that commandment, right? Thou shalt not kill. Hey, I'm rocking, you know, of all the commandments in the Bible, I'm kind of rocking that one pretty good. But Jesus is going to expound on that a little bit. He says, you've heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. Well, I'm going to talk about that judgment for just a moment. The judgment here talks about the Sanhedrin court. So any town in the area that had more than 120 or more people in it had a Sanhedrin court, and that court had 23 men, and they would try different activities. You know, if you did something wrong, you would get taken before that court. And so Jesus is saying, you've heard this said, but you know the Old Testament doesn't say the second part. It doesn't say we'll be subject to this judgment. And it's not a bad thing, but it's not exactly the Old Testament. So he's saying there's this judgment. You've heard this say that people are going to get judged, but Jesus comes here in Matthew chapter 5 and says, I've got more for you. Okay, you've heard this all your life. Pat yourself on the back. Thou shalt not kill. I'm doing pretty good. And so I got more for you. Jesus was a stickler for the law, for the rules. He said this. He said, put it up there. He said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And so Jesus comes and says, I want to fulfill the law. I want to let you understand all the nuances of the law. Well, Jesus had a problem with deviating from the law. He disdained and he railed on people who made the extra laws. Okay, some people, they read their Bible, they got it out, and they looked at the laws and they said, well, since it says that you keep the Sabbath, then they made 182 more rules about the Sabbath, how it works. They said, you can do this and you can't do that. Well, it's not in the Bible. And Jesus railed on the people who said, you guys are just being lawmakers and you're legalists, and that's not good. But here he's railing on those who would relax the law. Okay? So there's a law and there's its intent. And sometimes we look at that law and say, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And Jesus says we can't relax the laws. We have to reach its inner intent. So it's kind of like the Goldilocks thing, you know. Jesus comes. Well, I don't want to compare Jesus to Goldilocks. But the Goldilocks story, comes in and says, oh, this bed's too hard, this bed's too soft, this bed's just right. Jesus comes in and interprets Scripture for us and says, this take on Scripture's not quite right. That one's a little bit not too soft, too hard. And here is where the middle is. Here's what it actually means. So Jesus gets down to business. He says, you've heard this about murder, but I tell you, and he goes on in verse 22, if you have your Bibles open still, that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Now, the word judgment is the same judgment for killing. So they say, if you kill somebody, you're going to get drugged before these 23 guys, and, good luck, because you're probably out of luck. And he says, well, I'm going to tell you this, that if you just get angry with your brother, that you should be drugged in front of that same court. Now, let me express this. It doesn't appear from any historical or context that Jesus was saying, this is the way you ought to do it now. Every time somebody gets angry, bring them in front of the court. Guess what? That court would be very busy, right? Every time you got mad, they're going, oh, she got mad. Drag her up. They'd just be 24/7. He's not saying that, but he's saying the way that God looks at it is just the same. So anger is the same as murder. In 1 John, it reads this way, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So what we find here is Jesus is not expanding law, but he's getting to the deeper meaning of the law. In Matthew chapter 5, as I mentioned, there's the Beatitudes. It starts off, happy is the man who does this, happy is the man who does that, happy is the man who does this. He goes through his teaching here, and he gets to this point, and he's saying, if you're angry, you deserve judgment. Well, anger and the happiness, the joy of the Lord don't go together. You found that to be true? When you're really angry about something, you're overall happy in life? Is that the way it works? No, it does not. They're in opposition to each other. And so anger is a very dangerous thing. In my counseling, one of the things they said, always look for the anger in everything. And people say words like, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. That's anger. I'm not angry, I'm just, they come up with other words, right? But really what it is, we're mad about something, and if it's a little mad, we could give it a different word, and finally when we get to blow up mad, then we say, oh, that's anger. And God's saying, no, you gotta deal with the anger that's in your heart. You gotta dial it back. You can't just not be killing people. Billy Sunday had a lady come up to her, and she said this, my anger doesn't really hurt anybody. I just blow up, and then I'm done. And you know people like that, right? And they think it's over. I blew up. I blew up on you a little bit. Oh, it's okay. I forget about it. But other people don't. And he replied, you just blow up and it's all over, but so does the shotgun. And look at the damage that leaves. You blow up and you think everything's fine, but you're leaving holes in relationships. You're damaging the cause of Christ as well as your own personal relationships when you blow up and you don't handle your anger. Speaking of blowing up, I'm gonna blow up just some of the verses that the Bible says. We'll run through these very quickly. What the Bible says about anger in several different places. Proverbs 29, a man of wrath stirs up strife. Proverbs 14, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. Ecclesiastes, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of the fool. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 14, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts foolishness. Proverbs 16, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit is better than the one who takes a city. Psalm 37, refrain from anger and forsake all wrath. And then James 1, know this, my beloved brother, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So Jesus is working this commandment. You've heard, thou shalt not kill, but I'm telling you, you've got to back it up a little bit. We can't just stop and say, well, good for me, I didn't kill anybody today. He's saying, you got to back it up and saying, I can't be angry with anyone. So then we move from there. I hit the wrong button. Oh, no, where am I? Don't you hate it when that happens? And now I'm in the whole wrong spot there. It's all good. It's all going to be fine, right? All right, we're already past that. So if you're angry, you're subject to judgment. Then he takes it even one step further than that. I'm almost there. Give me a second. Then he says, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Okay? So he's stepping it up here a little bit now. Now he says, no, you can't be killing people. We all got that. Now he says, you can't be angry. And then he says, you can't be calling people names. Raca, maybe loosely interpreted, would be stupid. And if we go back to our memes, we find out that there are many of these same memes come up here with the word stupid in them. The first day on the new job, and I didn't kill anyone for being stupid. And what happens is we start calling people names in our own minds. I don't have any tolerance for stupid people. And then we get Kermit the Frog again, who says, the hardest part of my job, and you may find this to be true, is dealing with and being nice to what we call stupid people. But God says, you start calling people names, then you're breaking the same law of killing. It all runs together. You can't kill, you can't be angry, you can't be calling people names. You can't be thinking people stupid, which means if you're doing that in your own mind, in your own heart, that you're arrogant, that your pride has raised up inside of you. And we know God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so Jesus takes a saying that's very common, and he goes off on it, and he chases it down a place that no one really expected. And he says it's the same judgment. You get angry, you should go to the Sanhedrin. You call people names, you should go to the Sanhedrin. And then he breaks it down even further. He says, but if anyone says you fool, which is a stronger word, which is a word that means an enemy of God. You have judged their heart, that they're just a completely enemy of God. They're worthless. They're spiritually bankrupt. And when you start to judge that way, he says that you are in contempt of God, and so much that you don't even deserve a proper burial. You're going to get thrown into the trash heap that's on fire. You're not even worthy of putting in the ground. So Jesus takes a saying that was very common, and he turns it into something different. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. We back him up again. Anyone who says Raca is answerable to Sanhedrin, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fires of hell. So Jesus does this a lot. We talk about the actions, and in counseling and in life, we say, well, pat myself on the back. You know, I didn't kill anybody. And then all of a sudden, we read the scriptures further. What do we find? Well, yeah, I'm an angry person more than I need to be, which is like almost none. The fruit of the Spirit is all these great things. The The Sermon on the Mount there talks about blessed is he, happy is he who does these things. We're supposed to be these happy people to be salt and light. And we pat ourselves on the back really strong at the beginning. I'm not calling anybody. Oh, no, I am kind of angry. Oh, I do call people names. Oh, I do judge people. And all of a sudden we're backing way away from what the intent of the thou shalt not kill is something completely different. And this principle applies not only here, but in the rest of the chapter, we find that Jesus applies the same principle. You've heard this, but I'm going to tell you more. You've heard that. And he goes on to talk about these subjects. He says, you've heard this about adultery, but I'm going to tell you this. You've heard this about divorce, but I'm going to tell you this. You've heard this about making promises and making oaths, but let me tell you more. You've heard about harsh judgment and revenge, and Jesus said, I've got something more to say on that. He always takes it back to the matters of the heart. So what do we do? I don't have these on the screens, but they are in Matthew chapter 5. Hopefully you have your Bible there. So what do we do when that happens? We find ourselves angry. We find ourselves in a situation where we've crossed the line. Therefore, if you're offering, verse 23 is where I am. If you're offering your gift at the altar there, but you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Verse 25, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. So Jesus says, you got to do something about these things. When you cross the line, you got to do all that you can do to fix it. Why? Because anger escalates quickly. It doesn't take very long before it just gets out of hand and it destroys lots and lots of things. So we have to go and reconcile even before we come and bring our offerings to church, both our heartfelt offerings and our offering plate offerings. But he takes it back even a step further. If you roll over to the next column in your Bible there, in Matthew 5:43, he breaks it down even further, like that's not far enough for us, right? I'm on the wrong verse there. This thing's skipping around on me, or I'm making major mistakes, whichever. All right, sorry guys. 5:43 to 46. Here we go. Makes you appreciate Pastor Bill, like he's always right on it, isn't he? So. You've heard that it was said, love your enemy. Love your neighbor, excuse me, and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So Jesus takes it back all the way from murder to spiritually judging their soul, to talking bad about them, to just being angry, to saying, that's pretty good, I'm not angry. No. Now he goes on and says, you have to love your enemy. Oh, come on, Jesus. I was patting myself pretty good on this. But from God's perspective, disobedience is disobedience. Psalm 24. Well, I'm one ahead of myself again. Psalm 24 says this, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Who's going to come before the presence of God? Not those who just don't kill, who just don't do the bad things, but those whose heart, you take it all the way back here and you examine your heart before the Lord. God has called us to be light. We have to do different. We have to follow the law. But we also have to change our hearts and let our hearts be molded by our God. There's always a heart issue with every behavior issue. It happens with children. It happens with people you work with. They do crazy things. Why? Because there's a heart issue. So we need to look in that mirror and we need to back ourselves up and find out where our heart issue is. Stan Mikita. He was professional hockey player for 22 years. He played for the same team for 22 years. 1958 through 1980. He was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1983. And in 2017, he was named as one of the top 100 greatest NHL players ever. Stan Mikita. But before he became all these great things, he had a problem. He was kind of known as the bad boy of the NHL. And he spent a lot of time in the penalty box for fighting, for, well, dirty play, so they say. But then he went on, after an event in his life, and he went on to win, be the only player who ever won all three of these trophies the same year. And let me, I'm going to read this to make sure I get it right. He won 2 years in a row all three of these trophies. The first one was the Hart, which is the MVP of the National Hockey League. The second was he was the leading scorer. And after his bad reputation for years as being a fighter, he won the Good Sportsmanship Trophy. 2 years in a row. Stan Mikita. And so what precipitated that change? He had an 8-year-old daughter who was at home. And she said to him, "Dad, how can you score goals when you're always in the penalty box?" And he took that to heart. "Dad, how can you score goals when you're in the penalty box?" Let me tell you, in Matthew 5, it's clear that we're supposed to be happy, joyful people. We're supposed to be salt and light to the community. But how can you, how can I score goals for God? How can I be the light to the world if my anger keeps me in the penalty box and limits my influence on those around me? Good question for this morning. Hard question this morning. Would you bow your head with me? Father God, we want to shine like stars as you've called us to do that. So, Father, I pray this morning you'll help us to deal with the anger, whatever level we have, God, that we might look at it, that you'll shine that light on it. Lord, you help us to make amends, Lord, to make changes, to not be satisfied with what the world says is pretty good and pretty good people in their eyes. But, Father, that as we stand before you, that we will continue to be cleansed by the blood of your Son, Lord. You'll give us the courage, as you've already given us the strength to make change to be like Jesus. God, I don't know what you're saying to these, your people, but Lord, I know that you're speaking through your word, and so I pray during this time of invitation that you'll have your way in each heart and each mind and each life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptist.org.